It sure is a privilege to stand behind the pulpit. Thank you, Pastor. And I think of preaching conference and all the great preaching you've heard. And I just thank God it doesn't depend on me. It's His Word. And I can just preach it and just trust God to use it in your heart and life. But it's I am so thankful for my church and for my pastor. And I'm humbled to even be able to stand in front of you and to open God's Word. I know that in and of myself, there's nothing good. And while it's kind that to say that if you have a problem with me, you just have a problem, I know that's not the case. And I'm sure I've offended some of you before. But if you would kindly take your Bible, and if you would tonight, just make your mind up to pay attention. God has really been working on me. I'm going to try my best to deliver what He's given me. And He's just been really working on me since preaching conference. You know, you grow up in church, and you grow up in a church like this where the Word of God is preached, and not just sort of, all right? I've been in places where you had to listen on purpose, and you had to glean, and these kind of, here, it's the rubber meets the road. The jam's on the bottom shelf, and if you don't get it, it's your own fault. And I've always been blessed by our pastor, and I'm not just saying this because I grew up here, but I consider him one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. And I'm very thankful to have been blessed to be raised here. But to sit in the preaching of God's Word and to not get anything from it shows a lack of preparedness on our part. And there's been times where I've been there, where I come to church and go through the motions. And I just implore you tonight, even right now, it's not too late, just take a minute and still your heart before God and trust Him to do something for you tonight. And if you would, be opening your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, this is a song in Hebrew, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but it's a song in Hebrew, and it's Moses' last address. And we know Moses, the meekest man, did so many things, used so powerfully by God. And it's you think about Moses who so desired to have a relationship with God, a closer relationship with God, that he just begged to see Him. And he said, well, I'll put you, no man can see me and live. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover you with my hand. And I'll make all my glory pass in front of you, and I'll cover you. And you can see my back parts, but you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. But Moses had such a desire to be close to God. And then in the end of his life, he can't go into the promised land because of one thing that he did. He disobeyed God in one point. I think we live in a country and in a mindset. Well, we don't think one fault is that bad. I know I make excuse for myself. I'm not excluding myself here. I am the least severe on Ben Miller. I need to be stricter and harder and tougher on me. But we make excuses. But one mistake kept this man of God from the promised land. He got to go up to the mountain and look over in it, but that's as close as he ever got. He dealt with millions of Jews in the wilderness, and all of their belly aching and all of their groaning and all. Can you imagine? He dealt with all of that and did not get to go in for one mistake, one sin he committed when he disobeyed God in a fit of anger, righteous anger. But his anger nonetheless, it caused him to act in a way that God said not to. And he broke God's word. He broke God's law. Didn't get to go in. And it's interesting to me. What did Moses do? What was that? I didn't mention it yet. But what did he do? He struck the rock the second time. The first time he was commanded to. The second time it said, God said, speak to the rock. And Moses is mad, I'm sure. And he's the meekest man. And these people had made him this mad. And he said, must we fetch ye water out of this rock? And he smacked it, and nothing happened. He hit it again, and God let water come out. But he didn't go in. I don't think it's any stretch this is the first time God is referred to as the rock. First time in Scripture. I don't think it's any accident. It's not. The one reason that he couldn't go into the promised land, and this is what God has chosen to speak through him to refer to himself as the rock. I don't believe that's by accident. So let's bear that in mind as we get into this evening. For my text, I want to take verse 20. And he said, and this is the Lord speaking, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. Now, as I was studying and preparing, and this is one time I actually, a pastor told me a month in advance, and that's not easier. Believe it or not, that's not easier. Because as you prepare and you're writing things down and you're taking notes, you're like, this is going to be a series. We got to start cutting stuff. And it gets pretty rough. And pastors do this week in and week out, and it's always fresh, and it looks so easy. Trust me, it's not. It's the power of God, and he blesses them. But as I was preparing, more than one commentary that I was reading was calling this the children of Israel's national anthem. Now, I found this very weird because I didn't want to just say this. We know our national anthem. Now, it's been under attack and people have been sitting and kneeling and everything else when it's being played on public stages and getting paid millions of dollars to do it. But, you know, I can't remember when I learned the national anthem. I was thinking about it today. It must have been like kindergarten, first grade, something like that. Abeka has it in the curriculum. I'm sure you memorize it. I don't remember when. But I know sometime or another we learned it. And there's a decorum we go through, right? We stand, we face the flag, we put our hand over our heart. You know, there's way we do it. And it's a very serious thing. It's not a thing to be joked of. It's very special, you know, our national anthem. And I got to looking at other countries' national anthems. Because I didn't want to just say, well, they all do these certain things. But I did find that national anthems, they tend to be very big, right? The music, the melody is very powerful, very moving. It builds a sense of pride in country and citizenship. And it makes you think about your country. And even dictatorships have national anthems, okay? It does it. I looked up China's and it was pretty funny. You know, I thought, yeah, I bet you arise. If you don't, they kill you. You know, it's pretty interesting. But even what we would consider not a republic, not a democratic form of government at all, you have to do these things or you're executed, they have national anthems. By far the saddest is Japan's. You ever just get time, don't think about this through the whole sermon, okay? But later on, just read Japan's and listen to it. Ugh, they need to work on that. I know that country's very, very old, but anyway. Most national anthems have build a sense of pride and nationalism in you as you listen to it. I know ours does for me. I don't understand people that don't want to stand who benefit from the freedoms and the ability to make millions of dollars throwing a ball around, not to want to stand. And I get it. They're trying to make a statement, but do it some other time. That's just my opinion. It's free. I'm not charging anything for that. But if you disagree with me, that's fine. You have every right to. That's not Bible. That's just my opinion. But this has been called Israel's national anthem. And that is, as I read through it, it doesn't hold any of those things true. In fact, it's written to stand as a witness between them and God for the evil they would commit. You see, Israel already had a propensity to turn from God's commandment. Moses went up in the mountain, was gone for 40 days, and they went to Aaron and said, we don't know what happened to this Moses guy. And he said, okay, give me all your earrings, I'll build a calf. And then he said, these be thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt. I mean, that seems really ignorant, but they had a propensity for idolatry. And God already knew this. And Moses punched him, ground it up, put it in the water, made him drink it. But we see that this stands as a witness between them and God for evil they would commit. This is a warning. This is a warning. It promises God's wrath for their idolatry, their coming idolatry. It promises God's judgment for their idolatry. It promises that this judgment will be very severe, but would stop just short of their complete and total annihilation. And God warns them that they're going to do these things. First, tonight, let's look at the rock. The rock. As I said already, this is the first time God is referred to as a rock, and he's referred to as a rock six times during this song. Again, I do not believe that to be an accident. But he says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." We should ascribe greatness to our God. It should not be work for us to praise our God. It should be natural. It should flow from us. Our lives should be one of praise to God. One of the speakers during the preaching conference mentioned there should be times where we just praise God's name instead of ask for requests. That's a wonderful thing that I'm going to start to implement. Because many times we go to God in prayer, we say, "I need this, I want this, pray for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, you know, big toe, this, that, the other." We mention all these things, but we're going to God and we're barging in. We're forgetting His greatness. And I believe a mentality there of not looking at Him as the rock that He is will cause sin further down the road. Because we don't have a fear of God in our heart like we should. He's an awesome God. He's a powerful God. We can get into all His omnipotence, His omniscience, His ability to be everywhere at once. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed," the Bible says. All these things we could get into about who our God is. He is all-powerful God seated upon the throne in heaven who constantly receives glory, praise, and honor. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory, the Bible says. Constantly, day and night, the cherubims and the seraphims are saying this in front of Him. And when we get to heaven, we'll be doing it too. Let's start practicing now and praise our God. We need to make sure we're lifting Him up and putting Him in His rightful place of honor. But many times I'm afraid that we don't have Him in that rightful place of honor because we have ourselves in that rightful place of honor. Our will, what we want, what I want, me, myself. I know that's my problem. I like my way above everything. Don't believe me? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I like things to go my way. And all of us do. We have a plan. If you don't have a plan, a failed plan is a plan to fail. All right? I don't have any problem with plans. You just make sure you're yielded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God and God Almighty and make sure your plans line up with His plans. Be careful before you say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to go that way, I'm going to do these things." The Bible talks about that in the New Testament. Next year I'll do this, that, and the other thing. We don't know if we have next year. God does. Let's consult Him in our plans. We need to make sure that God is in His rightful place. He is the perfect rock. The Bible says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. All His ways are judgment. He doesn't make mistakes. We live in a day where people will shake their finger in God's face because something didn't go their way. Because somebody got sick. Because somebody perished. You know, I think COVID has shown a lot of people the true colors of some Christians. Oh, we're terrified. We don't know what to do. I'm not saying it's not a bad disease. I'm not saying people have had it and it's awful. I haven't had it. I don't want it. It looks terrible. I don't want to get it. But I'll tell you this. If God has elected COVID to take this old boy out, I'm ready to go and I'm not afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. God is on His throne. God knows the end of the story from the beginning. Do you understand when God stepped out on nothing to create everything, He knew your name. He knew how tall you'd be, how much hair was on your head. He knew all of those things. Job says he knows your steps, the number of steps that you're going to take in your life. He knows. Don't you think he knows if you're going to get COVID? Don't you think he knows if the vaccine will work or not? He knows all those things. Who are we to worry about those things? Who are we to fret? The rock is perfect. You know, the children of Israel were his portion. Out of all the people, you know, this right here, this song is really rough on the children of Israel. Now there's application to be made for us. It's really rough on the children of Israel. It's biting. The judgment of God is evident. These things are there, but don't make no mistake. God's not done with Israel. This replacement theology that's out here, that's on the internet, and these guys are out here pounding away and calling themselves independent fundamental Baptists, and they're touting this theology, this false religion that God has replaced Israel with the church. That is nothing farther than from the truth. If you want proof of that, just read Romans chapter 11. It says that God grafted us in and God can take us out. That's what it says. And it does say in the end that God's going to finish it up with Israel. All right. So we need to make sure we're very careful and clear on this. Saying this more, I know we probably don't have a lot of that, anyone worried about that here. Some people may be listening or find this online. I don't want to make any mistakes. God's not done with Israel. God has put the Gentiles in for a while. And it says a warning. Don't get puffed up about that, because God that put you in can take you out. So that's for anyone who may be mixed up on that. The rock's provision, the rock's provision for his people. You know, God has done so much for the children of Israel. He found them in the wilderness. He provided for them for 40 years. Supernaturally. Their shoe leather didn't wear out. Can you imagine? And they didn't have the technology we have. I mean, it didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God took care of them. The Bible says, verse 10, he found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Remember the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud? It moved and showed them where to go. They didn't have to wonder about where to go. It would stop where they were to set up camp in the tabernacle. It would stop when they were supposed to do those things, and then it would move again. They would know it was time to pick up and move again. God led them. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, floateth over her young. And this has the idea of an eagle that's teaching her young to fly. And it doesn't just throw it out over the cliff. It will fly under them and get them used to actually catching the wings. God took care of them every step of the way. My church, God takes care of us every step of the way. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. God didn't need any help. God didn't have any small g God helping him out. During this, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with the fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. You didn't suffer. You didn't go without. God took care of you. You know, we're his people and God's going to take care of us. Now, number two, the rejection. But Jeshurun, this is a word for Israel. Jeshurun, it means I have my note. Upright. Upright. The upright. Jeshurun, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Now, this is starting to hit home. Thou art covered with fatness. When he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. But the truth is, flesh put aside. We live in a day. Now, bear in mind that the children of Israel did not have the canon of Scripture. Moses hadn't even finished penning Deuteronomy and putting it into the Ark of the Covenant yet. It's not been done. They had it from God's mouth to Moses, from Moses' mouth to them. And they had to listen and obey. And remember, they would say very flippantly at times, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And in Hebrews, it's very clear. How much sore punishment do you suppose we will be when we take lightly the word given from God? When we take lightly what God has shown us in His Word, what God has displayed, how much sore punishment will we be of? They rejected. They grew fat and kicked. Has the idea of mulish. We all have the, we can think of a story of a mule. He wants his way. He wants to do his thing. He's kicking at God. That's what Israel did. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. And this baffles me. You take the children of Israel who see the smoke come down on the tabernacle and they hear the rumblings. And when on Horeb, it came down on the mount and the mount was aflame. And they said, don't let God talk to us. We don't want to hear God. Moses, you talk to us. We're afraid of God. These same people who saw that awesome power will turn and make gods of rocks and stones and worship false gods. Baal, Balaam. These different false gods. They would eventually get to such a point of debauchery that they would sacrifice their own young, their firstborn, to these false gods, Molech. These different, and not even just that, but demons and devils, the verses say here. Those things would do supernatural things. It wasn't power from God, but it was spiritual power. Never forget, there are two forces at work. And for deception purposes, there are things that they do. And they would worship these things. When they had heard the voice of God in the mountain, they lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. They provoked him with jealousy, with strange gods, with abominations, provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods. They just made it up. Oh, this is our God right here. Made it up. Anything to keep from actually facing the fact that God is the one that's in control. That God is the one to be feared. New gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful. Do we take time to consider what God says before we make our plans and before we go into action? Do we take time to pray? Jedediah's recently found Patch the Pirate, and there's a mixture of emotions in that for me. I love it, but at the same time, I don't want to hear it 67 times. And there's a song in there. It talks about if it's doubtful, don't do it. Take time to pray and think through it. Would to God we would take that advice, and if something is doubtful, if it's deceitful, if we're not sure about it, here's something. We could get counsel from our pastor. We could get counsel from the Word of God. But we live in a day where everything has to be done right now, right now, right now, immediately. We cannot wait, not one second, for anything. It has to be now. We all act like a bunch of spoiled 18-month-old, 2-year-olds in the line at Walmart. Those are kind of going away with self-checkout. But that's still a thing. You know? I want that. It makes you want to hurt somebody. You know? That's fleshly. I shouldn't be that way. It's carnal. Carnal. But it's true. You know, we need to take time and be mindful of our God. He is the rock. The church, we just sang it. We probably sang it 2 or 3 times. It is Jedediah's favorite song. My God is a rock. It's funny hearing him sing it because he gets to a spot. There's a spot there where it's almost talky. It's kind of, where could I run? Where could I hide when my soul is terrified? Well, listen to him try to say those words. It's pretty funny. But you know, It's true. Our God is a rock. He's a rock. We need to be mindful of that. You know, on a side note, fill your kids' head with that stuff. You know, they shouldn't know. Now, my son knows VeggieTales songs, okay? I'm not hyper-spiritual here, okay? I'm not. You know, he knows Paw Patrol and these kind of things. But you know what? When he listens to music, he's listening to music I put in his head. And I'm very careful. I don't let just theme songs play. These things have a rock beat and a back beat. And, oh, it's just Paw Patrol. It's just Pup Pals. It's just PJ Masks. Whatever it is. Be careful. Daddies, you are over that in your home. You're over that in your home. And you know what? There's sometimes he'll ask me, can I watch so-and-so? No, we're not watching TV today at all. It's okay. Go to your room and play. And most of the time, he's okay with it. And sometimes he'll ask me 2 or 3 times and he'll not get disciplined for it. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with turning the TV off. It's really not. It's nothing wrong with making them use their imagination instead of let someone else stick the mess in their head. We've seen what comes out of Hollywood. We see what they're okay with. And so they junior it down, and now I'm meddling. I'm way off what I'm supposed to be on, but I'm sorry. That's free. These actions bring the abhorrence of God. God is abhorred by their actions. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them. He did not, it was distasteful. It was nasty. We know that abominations make God sick. And there's a list of those. You don't even have to wonder what they are. They're in the Bible. They're listed as abominations to God. And when you see something that says it's an abomination, it literally turns God's stomach. It makes Him sick. This was abhorrent to God. I mean, the Ten Commandments are clear. They have it listed out right at the beginning there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm the God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. No other God before me. And here they are. They're following after false gods who are not gods. They're making up gods. Anything they can do to alleviate the conscience. This is why atheists are atheists. All right? They're not idolatrous, but they're atheists. Because they don't want... If there's a God, there's accountability. If God is the one true God who gave them the Ten Commandments, who gave the commandments to Israel, then they are accountable. If God is the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt, then they are accountable. He is the one who brought them out of Egypt. And they are accountable. They just didn't listen and they find out too little too late. Their actions bring abhorrence. Our text. And He said, I will hide my face from them. Your actions that displease God get His attention. Do we understand that? Do we really take that in? Is it real to us? Or do we just make excuses? Do we just say, oh, I'm just struggling with that one? Or does it really get to us? Does it really make us? Do we really feel the way God feels about it? We cannot repent of sin unless we feel like God feels about it. We have to agree with Him about it. Do we really? I'll tell you what I think, what I see, my observation, is we live in this world that is bombarding us with atrocity. And here's the atrocity over here, and we're over here, and God's over there. But we're not there, we're here, so we're okay with it. That's what I see. That's what I see in churches. That's what I see from religious people. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith in the earth? We know He's going to find churches. We know He's going to find religious people. Will He find faith? Because you see, faith comes from hearing the Word of God and obeying what it says. See, when you hear the Word of God, you don't get saved without hearing the Word of God. I take a little reserve to people that say, well, you know, I was alone over here and I just decided I needed to get saved. If there was no one who had ever given them scripture, if there was no one ever sharing the word of God with them, ever, they didn't have a Bible open, they didn't have a tract, the word of God is what draws you to repentance. The word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses to draw men to himself. If there's no Bible in it, there's no getting saved. We need to make sure we are in line with Scripture. I was raised in a whole group of people. Pastor gave you some of my backstory here. Everyone pretty much knows me, except some of the visitors here tonight. And you also know the people that aren't here that were. That were raised just like me. And I'm nothing special. I can promise you I am not. If God were to show all the ways that I have failed, there would be no one here that has any respect for me at all. Because I am dust. I am worthless. The only thing good in me is God. And there are people who were raised like me, who stood like me, who preached like me, who thought like me, who sounded like me, and they are so far away from God tonight. How does it happen? It's because they got comfortable being here when the world was there and God and God's Word are over there. And they got fine with it. They got comfortable with it. And then they drifted like the backsliding heifer. And they got, now they're all the way over here and you can't tell one difference between them and the world. They look exactly the same. They drink, they smoke, they run around. And I'm talking about people that know the truth. Oh, and my heart aches for them. I don't stand in criticism of them. I don't stand over them as somebody that I'm better than them. But for the grace of God, there go I. That's where I would be. Worried about for God and His grace and His Word. I'm not standing in over them. I'm not lording over them saying, oh, look at you. Look where you failed. Look where you failed. Look where you've fallen. Look how far you've came. The Word of God warns us against that behavior. We would be just as bad as the worst person in Jackson, Tennessee tonight, were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ and His grace. Where are you lining up tonight? Do you take any thought of God's Word? Do you take any thought before you make plans and actions? Let's see what God does. They move me to jealousy, verse 21. With that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. By the way, that's us. That's where the Gentiles come in. And actually lines up really good with Romans 11. I didn't even plan that, but that's there. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger. You know, fools make a mock of sin. You know, this is why you can't have sitcom television in your house. Because they live to make a mock of sin. They make a mock of the daddy being the strong leader in the home. He's always the buffoon and the idiot. That's not what the Bible teaches. Daddy, you are the leader of your home. I don't know what kind you are, but you're him. You're the leader. You got that badge. It's given to you by God, the authority. They make a mock of vile, wicked immorality. They make a mock of homosexuality. Homosexuality in this movement did not get where it is today. It didn't just happen. They've been making fun of it, laughing about it on sitcoms for the last 15 years. And Christians are sitting there home, I know that's bad, but it's so funny. Fools make a mock of sin. Sin makes God's anger kindle, fire kindle mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth and her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within. I think God is pretty clear where He stands about sin. All this is true. It's God's Word. But you say, well, that's Old Testament. That's a different God. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross for your sins and for mine, the sky went dark for 3 hours. When God the Father turned His back on His own Son, who was not bearing His own sin, but mine and yours. Fools make a mock of sin. If you're going at home and you're watching, and can I? I'm not so high and mighty to tell you this dealt with me. Okay? I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I like to have a good time. But here's how sneaky and deceitful sin is. The deceitfulness of sin. You'll be laughing and hee-hawing at stuff that a child of God has no business laughing and hee-hawing about. And then you'll step back and the Holy Spirit of God is saying, what are you doing? Fools make a mock of sin. This is the reckoning. God's not going to let sin go unpunished. There's a great preacher who preached the message, Payday Someday. He says, the wheels of God's justice turn slow, but they turn sure. There's a payday someday for the wicked. And all we may think, oh, it's taking forever and it's never going to happen, but God's given them space to repent as He gave you space to repent. But if they do not change, they will end up like Jezebel, and they will end up like Ahab. God will not let sin go unpunished. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. Nobody's going to get missed. Sin is destructive. Would to God it did just kill you. But it doesn't. Sin, has always been said, makes you stupid. And the problem with that is daddies and mamas, you got people looking at you. They're paying attention to you. And they're going to follow you. Because actions speak louder than words. You can say, do what the preacher says. Listen to the preacher. Kids are going to do what you do. You lay out of church, they're going to lay out of church. You skip soul winning, they'll skip soul winning. Actually, it's probably worse than that. You lay out of church and only come every once in a while, they just won't ever come. You lay out of church and don't come to soul winning, they'll just fall completely out of church, won't have nothing to do with it. It's always worse. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, oh, our hand is high and the Lord hath not done all this. You know, God, in His mercy, He went so far, and He said, I'm not going to let the heathen, and I'm not going to let the wicked think that they are better than they are, that they have done all these things. I want them to know that I'm a God of mercy, and He stayed. For they are 28. For they are a nation void of counsel; neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, I'm not going to get to everything tonight, and I've gone longer than I anticipated. But I'm going to tell you this: this world is not all that there is. This world is not all that there is. The devil pushes that idea and that propaganda to grab all the gusto you can, live life to the fullest. Do all you can while you're young. Do this, do that. Try this, try that. Don't let anything left. You're going to be old one day. You're not going to be able to do these things. Do all you can as fast as you can. I got news for you. Verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You know, people told me for years, some of you are here, my grandfather,
BJ, you better stop jumping off of stuff. You're going to regret that when you get older.
I always had snub, still does to this day. Still can't understand half what he says. He said, don't jump off of stuff.
You're going to back going to be hurting your knees, ankles.
And I jump everywhere. You see Jed, how he runs around, that's his daddy, okay? I can't blame that on anybody. That's his daddy. And I was that way till I was 14 years old. Wide open, jumping off everything. This platform, those steps, every time I'd come down, and I'd be down from the top to the bottom. We had at the old building on Hartsbridge. It had like three, four, five concrete steps. I don't remember. I know John got his forehead on one time. But, you know, I would bail off those things every time. And there's not a morning, I don't think, about what my granddaddy and mama and daddy and pastor and everybody else used to tell me. You're going to grow up one of these days. And as I'm nearing 40, I'm not old. Okay. No, I know you're going to come to me. You're not that old. I know I'm not that old. I'm only 36 almost. But you know what? I feel it every day. And I know it's not from work. I may try to tell people that I've worked harder. No, it's from being a dummy when I was young. Seriously. No joke. It's from being rambunctious and ignorant. And just bounding off of stuff. And I go to a chiropractor once a month, sometimes two times a week, just depends on how bad I'm hurting, just to get through so I can work. I didn't consider that I was going to live long enough for it to be a problem. You know, this world's not all there is. We will stand one day in judgment for the works we've done in the body God has given us. Now, we will not be forced into condemnation. And I could talk about Bema seed and white throne seed and all these things, and act like I understand all of that, but I don't, not all of it. But I know there's a Bema seat judgment, and that's when I'll stand in as a child of God, and I'll be judged. My works will be judged. And it'll be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones. And those stones, with those precious stones, I'll be able to throw back down at the feet of Jesus, who shed His blood and died for me. And if Israel could do it again, if they could change their ways and go back, and reset, I believe they would. In fact, I was looking up their national anthem now, and it talks, and the title is Hope. Hope. For 2,000 years, they have had their land, they wanted to have all their land, and they haven't had all their land, and they still don't have all their land. That's literally in their anthem. No reference to God, mind you. All right? They're very secular. No reference to God. No reference to those things. But 2,000 years. And it's funny. Baptist pastor's been preaching ever since I've been alive. 2,000 years without a sacrifice, without a temple. They were driven from their land into Babylon. Sold in slavery. Taken captive. Temple worship's been gone. They wanted their land. They have hope. They want hope. The only hope we have is in this Word and in Jesus Christ. It's the hope of the Jew. It's the hope of the Gentile. Consider your latter end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. God, I thank You for Your Word. And God, I just pray tonight that we would take time to consider, that we would stop, that we would pause our busy life. And God, I know I'm guilty of it. You convicted me of this. God, we're so busy. We make plans and we have ambition. But God, if it doesn't line up with You, we shouldn't want any part of it. God, I pray that You would take Your Word, that You would drive it home in the hearts of Your people, and that we would consider our latter end. Not just live for right now and the second and the instant gratification of our flesh, but remember that we are spiritual man if we're born again. And God, that we will stand before you and give an account of what we've done, that there is a latter end to come. God, I pray that you would just move as only you can tonight. In Jesus' name, Pastor.